Well, amen. Let's turn our Bibles this evening to the book of Proverbs. Y'all remember Proverbs? We're going to come on down. Hopefully Bob can get us here. Do any of you girls know how to do that camera? Move it. Nate does. All right. All right. No, not by that. There's a remote control in there. No. Okay, says no. You can, okay. Go ahead, Kayla. All right, Proverbs, it's been a couple months. It's been a couple months since we've been in Proverbs. And so we're going to get back there a little bit tonight in Proverbs 24. And I'm going to pick back up a little bit and jump back in. And Proverbs 24, verse 1. Bible says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them." Okay, so number one, what do you want? What do you want? That's number one. Everybody got a handout? Everybody got one? Anybody need one? Anybody need a handout? Yeah, we're back to the handouts. Joe, can you pass that to anybody? At least for this week. We'll get back into them in a little bit later. So number one is, what do you want? What do you want? I want you to think about that question a little bit. This passage tonight starts with the sin of envy. Starts with the sin of envy. Okay? It says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them." So, so number one, under that, envy is a mix of admiration. Okay? Admiration and discontent. Okay? Envy is a mix of admiration and discontent. So A, under that, you or I, right, we see what someone has and we want it, right? You ever done that? A couple of you, right? You see somebody over there with a piece of chocolate cake, right? And you're like, oh man, right? Now, part of it, like that, by the way, every time we want what somebody, because we see somebody has something we want, it doesn't mean it's an evil form of envy. It's, oh, I like your dress. Where did you get that? Right? Ladies will do stuff like that. Where did you get that? And then they kind of, sometimes we say that, and guys don't say that. But ladies will say that, and like, oh, that's really nice. Where did you get that? And they'll tell them, like, oh, I've got to go there and look. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. Sometimes it's just conversation. It's really my way of saying, you look really nice, and guys are like, hey, what's up? We don't do that, okay? But there's other things. A guy has this really cool tool. Ooh. But here's where guys are different. Where did you get that? And they say, I got that over at, Harbor Freight. We go get it, okay? We go get the same exact tool. If a woman goes and gets the same exact dress, it is fighting terms, right? You got the same one. But guys are, oh, you got one too. So see, it's different. It's different, right? That type of thing. But what I want to say with this thing about envy, and I want to get us to think about this thing, it's somebody we admire something. In this sense of, I like what they have. I like what they are. I like what they have. I like what they're doing. Either it can be about a person or about their stuff, okay? But it's also, the mix is, we're also become discontent. The thing I have isn't as good as that thing, right? So there's this mix. I like what you have, but I'm also kind of bring out something. I don't like what I have. So number two, envy at some point can turn into what? Jealousy. envy can turn into jealousy. Now, jealousy has a little bit different thing. A, under that, jealousy is often the negative feelings toward the person that has what you want. Okay, you see how the difference? Envy is like, I like what you have. I like that and I want it. And I'm not happy with what I have, so I want your stuff. I want it because I like it. Jealousy is, I'm kind of mad at you because you have it and I don't. Right? I kind of want it because, and it begins to stir up some of these. B, when envy turns to jealousy, admiration turns to disgust. Right? Admiration turns to disgust. Okay, and even hatred. So I want it. So there's a shift here. It's kind of a fine line, right? It's a fine line, but it shifts from I like what you have, I like what you are, I like the characteristic, I like maybe I like the way you do something, I like the product that you do, or I like how you carry yourself. I like that, and I admire it, and I'm like, man, I wish I was like that, and I'm a little discontent with myself. And then it changes to where you get all the attention. And now, I'm a bit disgusted with you because you're getting all the attention for doing. Remember, just a moment ago, I admired it. Why would it, we're going to do a little question and answer tonight. Why would it change from envy to jealousy? Why do you think that would happen? I mean, give an example or something. You know, why do you think, why would someone say, I like what you, oh, I really like it. Why would it change to disgust? I got you on this. Go ahead. Because discontentment, but it's more than that. So what happens is, it can, go ahead. Okay.
Or try to make ourselves better than the other person around us to put them down and live better than us. So it's kind of pride thing.
Yeah, well, you know, pride is the root of all of it, isn't it? You know what happens is this is the discontentment, what it does, it turns into something is discontentment says, I'm not just discontent with me. I'm unhappy that you have it and I can't have it. And then it's like, why do you get it? Right? And so there's this thing. Now somebody that you thought was great, all of a sudden changes to I hate them. You ever so this is again a ladies thing, because I'm around a lot of ladies, right? So I hear ladies say, people say some, oh, I hate, you know, she's so skinny, I hate her. Right? Women will say that, right? Y'all ever said something like that? It's like, oh, I hate her. You know, they don't really mean they hate her. You know, they're just, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, she's so pretty. I hate her. I hate her. Yeah, I hate her. Her hair is so great. I hate her. You know, okay, there's a little bit of facetiousness there. They're kind of just kidding with that. But this can kind of turn into something when we can do this, because it starts with something that's kind of funny, but all of a sudden it becomes something that where there's this kind of, our spirit is negative. Like you were just, you ever done that with somebody? You're like kidding. Yeah, I hate her. And like, yeah, I hate her too. And the other person is really mean and they're mad. You're like, no, I was a kid. I was kidding. We're, you know what I mean? You do this thing. But I want us to kind of get our head around that kind of thing. Number three, the major problem with envy is discontent. Discontent is the major problem with this. Is discontent. Really, not being sad, it's really this, it's not being satisfied with what God has given me. Right? We're different, folks. Some people are in different financial situations. Right? Do you think people are born with a mind, an entrepreneurial mind or a mind for some of that stuff? Yeah, I think some people have more of a mind to it. Some people have more of a mind to business. Some people have a mind for numbers. Some people seem to be able to look at stuff and know which thing to invest in. And other people seem to always miss it and lose, you know. And God's just made us different, right? And some people are wealthy, some people are, some people have great wealth, and you go like, man, I wish it, but then other people have a great family situation, marriage relationship, some different things we can be like, man, why do they have, you know, sometimes we think people just luck into life. Right? So the problem is here, it's not being content with what God has given me, as well as it's creating a line. Here's something I was thinking about when I was thinking about that. Creates a line that others cannot have what I also desire. So what I mean by this is somebody gets something, right? I used to try to teach this, tell this to my girls all the time, because my family is fairly competitive, right? They're fairly competitive, except for Kara. Kara is the least competitive of our family. I'm going to tell you this story. I can tell you a lot of these same stories. Kara was actually pretty fast. She used to be a pretty fast runner. And she would run, and she would run. But she was just like chasing butterflies, kind of. And so she's running. She's racing the kid. And the kid's, and she's like, hey, come on. And the kid would pass her. And it's like, yeah, see this. She could care less. And she was just, it's when she was little. Now she'd probably trip him. No, but, you know, so sometimes there's this competitive thing. But I would tell them, and so when that, one of them would win something. And the others are, well, why didn't I win? And I'm like, trying to teach your kids, yes, play to win, or you do something to win, and sometimes you win, but you try to tell the others, hey, but can, we need to be happy for the one that won. How about that? Yeah. I mean, isn't it somehow we have to cast out this sin? We start with that sin, don't we? We have to work through that. And so it's not being, but also there's this line, and as soon as somebody gets something, yeah, think about this. If you ever see, as soon as somebody gets something, you know, you wanted, all of a sudden you're annoyed with them because they got it and you didn't get it. You're like, wait a minute. So what I've done, so this is the thing what discontentment does. It draws this line that says, if you get what I also wanted, now I'm angry at you. But isn't that kind of how we are, how we operate? So it's kind of the human nature. And so here's what Solomon is saying to his son. He's saying this, do not be envious of evil people. Okay? Do not be envious of evil people. So number one, and here's what I want you to understand about evil people. Evil people do not have to be as evil as they possibly could be. Okay? What I mean by that is I want to kind of define what the scriptures mean by evil people. Ooh, evil people. We think of evil people like that. We're thinking of like really bad people, right? People that are like doing, you know, murderers and people, prisoners and criminals. And when we think of evil people, that isn't that kind of what we think of? When we think about evil people, we think about people that are persecuting Christians, killers and stealers and robbers. We think that's what we think about when we think about evil people. But here, A, under there, it means those that are not followers of God. Okay? It doesn't have to mean they're as evil as they possibly could be. Because you think about this, your neighbor. Now, probably some of y'all have a neighbor. Some of y'all have a neighbor, you're like, yeah, she's evil, right? Y'all know what I mean. So, you know, so some of y'all have a neighbor, you're like, that person's evil. But most of your neighbors, you're not thinking they're evil people. They're good people. I go out, my neighbors, I go out and say hi to them. My neighborhood is a waving neighborhood. I'll tell you, you drive in my neighborhood, this guy waves. I'm going out, I could wave three or four times just coming from my house and two blocks, I could wave at three or four people sitting outside. And if I go by, it's every time we wave. I like that. I'm from that kind of community. So the one group I wave at, they're all sitting back there drinking beers every night, but they're super. Yeah. And the guy will come out of his garage like he wants to catch me. I'm like, all right, hey, you know. And so evil people doesn't mean wicked, vile. It just means people, what we're talking about here, people that do not follow God. And so this is kind of the platform for what we're talking about here. So number two, but there's a second part. It says, do not desire to be with them. Okay, you're reading the verse, good. Okay, do not desire to be with them. See, the distinction in envy, the distinction in envy that still admires those that have what you want. Okay? And this is what we're seeing here in this thing of being with them. Because we admire them. We admire maybe the life that they have. You ever seen people that you have? When I say have you ever, I'm saying you have, because we're all like this. We'll see somebody that we kind of like the life they live. Right? They, you know, maybe they enjoy some things, they do some things, we like some of that, we kind of like that life. And so, but they're not following God. They've got a life that's separated from God, and as a matter of fact, it's a contrary to God, but there's some things in their life that we enjoy, we can get to the place that we want to be with them, or in other words, to be like them, or to hang out with that crowd. I'm telling you, folks, I struggle with that in my mind. I've struggled with that through different times. You're like, man, they seem like they really enjoy some things of life, and you've got to remember that's God says this. Don't be envious of that, okay? Or don't be with them. Don't be in that kind of thing. Listen, A, do not desire to be like them, so that you can have what they have. Okay, my answer blanks are easy tonight. These girls are getting all of them, so that's their game. That's all right. I made them easy. It's been a while. It's been a while, so I want to start easy. But this is the thing. He's saying this. Do not desire to be like them so that you can have what they have. So this is the message, okay? And can I tell you, this is the message we're going to see here in this portion of Proverbs and these few verses we're going to look at. And it's an often repeated message in the book of Proverbs. This, and I could have went through, there's four, five, or six different places we could have went through, and it says the same thing. Do not desire to be like them. Don't be envious of them. Don't be jealous of them. It talks about the same thing over. This is a common theme. And when we find a common theme in the Bible, what does that tell us? Go ahead, somebody say. It's important, but what else? Yes, it's important. It's a real problem. And who all has that problem? All of us. Yeah, all of us. And there's some problems that are a little more uncommon, but then there's some problems. This is human nature. And we're going to all have to deal with it. So Solomon deals with it over and over and over again because this is our human nature. So, number two. Why? Why do you want it? That's the question. Why do you want it? Okay, look at verse 2. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Okay, here's the thing. A, we can get... What's that blank? Yeah, y'all don't know that one. Huh? No. See, I knew I'd catch you with this one. We can get confused about... It's close to deceived. That's close. We can get confused about what we're looking at. Right? We can look at something and see it, and we think, they are happy. Right? We could look at them and say, they're very happy. Or we could look at them and say, they're doing really good. You ever met somebody like at church or some kind of, you know, this kind of environment, and you're like, man, they really live a perfect life. Here's what's funny. New believers will come into church. And they'll come in, they'll get saved, and you know, visitors or something will come in and say, you people are all perfect. And at this church here, I've had several people come in here. Several. Five, six different people have come into this church and said, since I've been here, this right here at Heritage Baptist Church, they'll come in and say, you people are all perfect. I'm not like y'all. Y'all are perfect. I'm like, we're good, aren't we? Right? People can see something. We can do the same thing to other people. We can look at it and say, man, everything. And by the way, I'm not talking about we're talking about particularly about evil people, those not following the Lord. And we say, man, their life is sweet. Their life is great. Their relationship is good. You ever seen somebody's relationship is wonderful right up until they get a divorce? Right? And then you're like, what? Right? It's shocking. You see these things and you think, oh, this is the life. It looks like they have fun. They're always doing something. All their Facebook posts are really, like, exciting. Social media. This social media is what this passage was written about. Right? People have social media posts that looks like they're having such a great time. Some people, all they do is take pictures to make it look like their life is interesting. Right? And so what I'm saying is we can get confused about what we're looking at. Number one under that, we can see shiny toys, luxurious living, or a free lifestyle, and are blinded by the cost of those things. We could see all these things. Man, they just do whatever they want to do. Right? Man, that's the life. Right? And the fact is, what we don't realize is, or rather, we're blinded to the fact of the cost of living that kind of life. Number two, we almost always have to trade one thing for another. Okay? He talks about it here in verse 2. It says, "For their heart studieth destruction." The life that is studied, or that, and what that word really kind of means, is that that has imagined or dwelt on having all that this life can offer. I want to say this to you: we'll have often sacrificed much to get it. It looks like, man, it looks like they're living the life, and we've all seen people like that that we're probably a bit envious of. Admired their life, right? And blinded to the fact that for them to get there, they probably had to sacrifice a lot of things. Listen, their heart gave no place to the things of God. Instead, they were given over to their own destruction. I can't tell you how many people I've met through life, and I know many of you I have too, that have been in church a little while, come and they'll say things like this: "I wished I would have given my life to the Lord when my kids were younger. I wished I would have, you know, been following the Lord sooner." Right? I mean, hear that all the time. People that, you know what, we'd have looked at those lives. I could think of a fellow, I'm thinking of a fellow right now. He was, he had everything. He ran his own business. And he said, "I don't even think about a payment that's less than $10,000. If it's less than $10,000, he said, "I don't even pay attention to it." I thought, man, if I had $10,000, I'm pretty excited. Yeah. But I said, "Could you accidentally get one of those my way?" You know, I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. Yeah, you know, I might have been a little bit envious of that. You know what I found out later? I mean, him and his wife, they lived this free lifestyle. They're just kind of flamboyant, and I thought, man, everybody kind of loved them, because when you got near them, there's things all around you, blessings, right? And when I got to know him a little bit, I realized his wife hated him. She didn't even like him. His kids had all abandoned. They wouldn't even talk to him. It wasn't too long down the road, he lost his business. He had nothing. What I'm saying is, sometimes we will look at these things and we think, man, they got that life that's so great. They get to do this thing or that thing or the other thing. But I'm telling you, there's a cost with it. And they have given their life over to the things of destruction rather than to following the Lord. So B, they will also spend their days speaking of the foolishness of following after God. It says in verse 2, "For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." They will talk about how foolish it is to follow God. "Ah, we don't need to do that." By the way, these could even be Christianish people. "Ah, we don't need to go to church every service. We don't need to do that. We don't," you know, and they'll kind of do this thing. They'll kind of talk in a way about almost this mischief, but also in a kind of way that says, "Ah, we don't have to do all that stuff. God, you know, I don't think God really doesn't want us to drink alcohol. That's just, you know," you'll hear stuff like that. "Ah, you know, just some people," and they'll kind of do this kind of thing. Their lips will talk about all this stuff of mischief. These are the same people that will destroy their lives, they'll destroy their marriages, they'll destroy their families, choosing instead to follow after their own destruction and mischief. These are the same people. So, number three, why would we want what they want? Why? This is what I'm trying to get. This, I think, what we're trying to get. Why would we even want that? Right? It might seem like some desirable life aspects, but the end is death. The end is death. Okay, number three. I do this all the time. I start long and then I got to finish fast. It's the way it is. That's my habit, isn't it? I'm enjoying the time and then I'm like, I got to finish. Okay, number three. There is a better way. There's a better way. Look at verse three. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Okay, listen. Building a home is more than filling your life with stuff of this world. Okay? Building a home is more than filling your life with stuff. By the way, I don't mean just toys and things. I mean, you know, credentials or prestige. It's more than that, folks. There is, number one, there are precious and pleasant riches that the world cannot contain. The world can't even touch them. So number two, but that life will only be built through wisdom. Will only be built through wisdom. So the life of others that may seem to be desirable is full of holes. It's full of holes. In other words, there's so much missing, right? They're filling their life with all that, but they've left out God. So B, wisdom is hard. Okay? Wisdom is hard. But it pays dividends. It pays dividends. That means there's returns on it. Okay, listen. When I say wisdom is hard, what do I mean by that? Wisdom's hard. Wisdom, what I mean is it takes some self-control. Right? You know what I want to do? I want to do what I want to do. Right? Are you like that too? I want to do what I want to do. Matter of fact, I don't want somebody to tell me to do something I don't want to do. I want to do what I want to do because I enjoy doing what I want to do. And I want to be in control of what we're going to do. Right? So wisdom takes some self-control. Wisdom says, I'm going to be okay with not doing what I want to do because I'm going to trust God. Okay? It takes some sacrifice. Wisdom takes some sacrifice. I'm going to trust God. Wisdom says that, trusting God says, I want this thing. I want to do this thing. I want to live this life. I want to travel down this path for my life. But wisdom says, I'm not going to do this. So I sacrifice doing what I want to do. So wisdom makes some hard choices. The easy way. The other way is the easy way. Just with no resistance to anything, is most often a life riddled with burden and care. I'm just gonna do whatever I want to do. Hey, what do y'all want to do? If I just follow the crowd, it's almost always a life riddled with burden and care. So number three, the life built through wisdom is also established by understanding. Okay, not the understanding of this world, right? It doesn't matter how many degrees, right? All these kind of things, but by the wisdom of God. But by the wisdom, by the understanding of God. Not the understanding of the world, but the understanding of God. And B, we have this from Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, let me just say these last two things. But no, let me say that it is here. Number four. By the knowledge of God shall all the chambers of your life be filled with precious and pleasant riches. I'm telling you, there's greater riches. There's more pleasant things by following God than the end of life that rejected God. You say, how do you know that? Because I've been at funerals. I've been at the funeral of people that have abandoned. As a matter of fact, I've preached funerals I preached the funeral of a young man that abandoned God with his whole life. He hung himself in prison. Everyone around him had nothing but gangbangers and nothing but doing what they want. Can we say a free life, free lifestyle? Did what they wanted when they want. That funeral was not a wonderful time. It was actually one of the most miserable funerals I've ever seen. Mother crying, weeping, screaming uncontrollably. I didn't even know these people. They asked me to come preach the funeral, and the funeral director said, "Hey, can you? You know, we need to take the casket. Can you try to get the mom off? You know, she's hugging the casket, wouldn't get, just bawling uncontrollably, sobbing." And you know, I'm like, "Yeah, I'll try." I go over and say, "Hey, you know, come on." She did listen, but I'm thinking, man, this was a mom that was just heartbroken. I was in the jail ministry. I know Brother Ed's seen this a lot too. I was in the jail ministry, and I'd go to these people and I'd see the miserable lives. Some hooked on where I was at, hooked on meth. And they'd get cleaned up. They'd be in there for a couple months, get cleaned up. And they're like, "Man, I'm ready to go take care of my kids. I'm ready to go do the right thing." And they get out, get back to that. I see them coming back in a few weeks later. This is a county jail, so it's a little bit different. But they come back in, and they so badly wanted with their life, they abandoned God. And it's a life of misery. I've seen saints. I think about Brother Tony's funeral. Went there, and all the people talking about how great thing, what a difference he made in their life. Wonderful thing. It was a celebration of life, right? Such a different, isn't it so different? Somebody that's wasted their life doing what they want to do versus somebody that's given their life following the Lord. I'm telling you, that's going to be chambers filled with precious and pleasant riches. It's different. It's maybe not shiny, but it's pleasant and it's precious. Last thing, trust the one who has set this world in order. Do not be envious of those that are outside of that perfect plan. Folks, this is a little challenging. This is a challenging thing, and that's why the Lord gave Solomon to do this over and over through the scriptures, through the Proverbs, because it's something there's three things. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the things that in the New Testament talks about. It's the same thing. We see something and we want it. And so it's a challenge. Hey, is it okay to say, "Hey, I like something that somebody else has, and maybe God, would you give me something like that?" That's okay. But when it becomes something that becomes an evil thing, and we want something that somebody separated from God. God has the pleasant and precious treasures for us. Let's be content with that. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word, this Proverbs of wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to really, as it says in Matthew 6:33, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And Lord, if we could trust you, Lord, if we'd really just trust you with that we can seek those things, and you will fill our chambers with the precious and pleasant treasures. I pray that you'd help us to seek you, and Lord, put this in our heart this week, and help us to put this in our mind and stay with us. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name.